Blog Talk Radio.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness thou establish in the heavens. I will make a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto my servant David, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to the generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, for thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who is in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who amongst the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God, God, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab into pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thy enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine, and is for the world, and the fullness thereof thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong in thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. The name of the Lord is indeed a strong tower, and we know that the righteous run into it, and they are saved, and they are safe. I read for your soul's inspiration and for your spiritual motivation the 89th division of Psalm, the Psalm of David, to Mishim, Ephon, and Izahite, about the mightiness, the majestic presence, and the very confront of our awesome God. For we know that our God is indeed an awesome God. He rules from heaven above with wisdom, with power, and with love. And when we trust him to be our God, to be our defense, to be our banner, our Jehovah Nissi, that's right, to be our Jehovah Jireh, our provider, God will indeed become Jehovah Rapha, our healer. That's right. And Jehovah to serve. Say, you know what? You are our salvation, our righteousness. And this is the mighty God that we serve. That's right. And his son is our Savior, our Messiah. That's right, our high priest, Jesus Christ. And no man cometh to the Father except by me, saith our Lord. And what a glorious and victorious day it is. You know it is. Another day that the Lord hath made, in which we are rejoicing and being thankful for it. It is the fifth. That's right, the fifth day of the month of February 2017. You've tuned into the Wisdom Alliance, brought to you over the airways, the byways, the highways of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Turn on all seven continents and praise God for his presence, for he is omnipotent, which means all-powerful, omniscient. That's right, all-knowing and omnipresent, which means at every place, at every given time. For he is a spirit, the universal spirit. That's right, the sovereign spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we are on fire today with his word. And God is turning over the hands of society. God is breaking down the petitions that prevented us from getting our miraculous breakthroughs. God is moving things. He is shifting the paradigm. He's causing a great shakeup so that the shakeout will occur and the blessings of Abraham will be fall upon us, for those who have been faithful, who have planted those seeds, for those who have stood in the petition, who have sent up their timber, who have spoken, who have stayed in the steam, those who have remained faithful. That's why God is answering our prayers in the most miraculous way possible and needful. And that's why we're here on the Wisdom Alliance, to get you back in touch, back in tune with the God of your salvation. It's not about vain religiosity. It's not about doctrine. That's like the Apostle Paul said, that the letter killeth, but the spirit quickeneth, it giveth life. And your life is about to change. That existence that you have is about to translate into being a life of abundance. That survival that you have is about to change over to living, living in abundance, living in prosperity, living in health, perfect mind, perfect balance, perfect harmony, because God is a God of perfection. Of course, we have ideals and perimeters, but God surpasses all of those things. He is a God and a God of perfection. And when we love him and we seek him, we acknowledge him, we believe him, we trust him, we stand on the word. It's not about what you see. The just shall live by faith, and we shall walk by faith and not by sight. Sight is blinding. Sight is deceptive. But, oh, when you walk by faith, God lets you walk over the ravine. He lets you sidestep the trap. He lets you move over the hindrances and knock down the walls. Those walls need to come tumbling down. God has truly dealt with me concerning walls, how walls can act as partitions, can act as ways of imprisonment or containment and confinement, preventing you, preventing me from going to the next level in our lives, to live the harmonious, abundant life of wealth, health, prosperity, balance, love, fulfillment, peace, and persistent victory. Those walls, you better call that neighbor, call that family member, call that friend, and tell them, if you want the walls to come down in your life that have been holding you back, that have been preventing you, I've been stagnating you, discouraging you, depressing you, you better tune in now, because there is a special anointing, and I can just feel the presence of this anointing so strong. Miracles are going to happen. This is a miracle week. I know we said we were expecting miracles to happen last week, but no, this is the fulfillment of the miracles that we've been praying for this week. Many of us are going to receive financial windfalls. When I say windfalls, money is going to meet and greet us on all aspects of our existence, and we don't even know where it's coming from. We have a sense of being knowing, but we're not for sure. God doesn't want us to be sure. See, when you get too sure in yourself and who would you think you are, what you think you can do, then you're preventing God from working. You're creating your own wall system. Get out of yourself. Get out of you. But if you and as I can experience and will experience the height, the depth, the breath of God, God breathing. You know, when God breathes, things move, enemies move, hindrances move, circumstances change for your best. Good news travels because God breathes. He wants to breathe, so he wants you to be silent and be still and know that he is God. When Moses felt a sense of entrapment, and the walls circled around him, and the children of Israel began to complain, saying, you mean to tell me you brought us out here for us to be murdered, for us to starve? Well, Moses went to God, and he said, you know what, Lord, I'm doing what you said do, and the people are being blessed, and they're being provided for, but they're just not satisfied. What am I going to do? And God assured him, stand still. Can you stand just for a moment? Can you drop what you're doing? Can you stop what you're doing? He said, and see the salvation of the Lord your God. And he said, I am. Look out. Here it comes. He says, I am that I am. And when God tells us, and I heard that word from me earlier this week, he says, I am. I am that I am. The miracles are coming. But God had to prepare us for that season. I'm telling you, Lord, so glad that we went through the test. Now we can receive and be blessed. And I tell you, he is the I am. I'm here to tell you, he is the I am. Can't nobody challenge him. I don't care who says what, how, when, where, why, what for. Can't nobody stand against that. Can't nobody challenge that. Men have died speaking ill will against God and against God's people. Men have fell victim to curses because they confronted God's people. And then if you don't believe it, we'll check out what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. That's right. When Peter came to them, the anointed apostle, the chief pillar of the belief system, the rock. His name, Peter, means rock. And he said, now, how much did you sell the land for? Because the sustenance was going to provide for the apostles and for the greater launching of the presbytery, for laying on of hands, direct contact with God's people. And here first, Ananias went to him and said, this is what we sold it for. And in Peter's spirit, discernment, he said, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Don't you know it's hard to kick against the prick? You can't fool a child of God because we walk with him, we talk with him, we're connected with our Heavenly Father. He grants us divine favors because we're close to him. Yes, we're all God's children, but some of us are endeared children. Some of us are beloved children because we lay on his bosom all the time. We're always crying. We're always praying in the Spirit. We're always communicating to him. That's why we're beloved. We don't let the world dictate to us. We dictate to the world. That's why God holds some of us in a different posture. Oh, he loves us all, but let me tell you something. Don't fool yourself. Don't kid yourself. Don't play yourself. Betray yourself. God has some of us that are his beloved children. Beloved because we lay on his bosom. We constantly cry out about what's going on in the world. We cried about what's going on in our family. We cried out to him about what's going on in our lives, that he is God and he must take the reign and destroy the enemy. Don't you know God loves that when we lay on him as our Heavenly Father? Don't you know he will kill those who try to come against us because his work has to be done? Well, don't say that, evangelist, that God will kill. Let me tell you, yes, he will. He said, don't touch my anointed. Touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. He said, be better that you took a millstone. That's an anvil of weight that they use on a ship to anchor it down and put it upon your neck and cast yourself into the sea and just to make one of us upset. So if we go crying to God, God's going to hear us. Because we're close to them. I don't have a Sunday salvation. Let me clarify something here for the record. Yes, I'm an educator. Yes, I'm a community leader. But my highest level of echelon and connectivity is being a child of the Most High God. Besides evangelical comes messaging and being able to teach and instruct people, my highest association is being a beloved child of God because I'm constantly going to him through the days, through the weeks, through the minutes, through the seconds, talking to the Lord. And this is why I have that connection with him, a close proximity, because I've learned that this world has gone to hell. Any time that you can insurrect and support same gender relations and call it legal, the society is going to hell. Anytime you can uplift and pat a man on the back who has sodomized children and calls himself a spiritual leader, the congregations are literally going to hell. Anytime that you can justify the abuse of others and the mental manipulation of others and call this person a true spiritual leader, this society and the congregational setting has gone to hell, because for the love of money has become the root of all evil. But see, you know what? God has set some of us up in spiritual places and offices in Him, but He's providing for us miracles, miracles, financial miracles, prosperity miracles, so we don't have to beg and ask for nothing, so that we know that the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not lack. We shall not be missing out on anything. We'll lend to many nations and never have to borrow, because we have made Him our God, and it's only in Him that I trust. I don't trust anything and anybody. Let me set the record straight. And as being a committed child of God, and you want to become that beloved child of God, you better get the same attitude to get that same latitude. So praise God, for whom all His blessings flow. Let us go, as we're going to be speaking this morning from the sixth chapter of the book of Joshua, about the walls of Jericho. What are your walls of Jericho that need to be torn down? What are your petitions today? Well, God is about to do the miraculous, and if you miss out on it, it's nobody's fault but your own. But let me tell you something. Hosea means salvation. And Yeshua means Yahweh, God is our salvation. He is our way out of no way. He makes the way out of no way. This is where God is and where He wants His children to be. And when He summoned Joshua unto His service, let me tell you something. Joshua is the first of the 12 historical books. It actually connects the Pentateuch and the remainder of Israel's history through the major military campaigns that came through the 30 enemy armies that confronted the children of Israel. God shows us in the book of Joshua that Joshua's capable of leadership. His victory came through faith. It didn't come through his artillery. It didn't come through who his name was, his recognition was. It came through God. God is teaching us in this book of Joshua that your victory comes from me. I'm the one that manipulates the banks. I'm the one that manipulates those who have posture in your land. I'm the one who manipulates the very people whom you come in contact with to give you divine favors. And because we trust in Him, God grants us His spiritual superiority. And He shows how God, in His very book, designed a plan of prosperity. It shows us that our God made this little man a great and mighty conqueror. And He had to remind Joshua when He called him unto His service, considering Moses, who went before him, who did his part to get them to the promised land. Now it was up to the children of Israel to be obedient and allow the Spirit of God's word, which was spoken unto the servant. See, at that time, there was no binary text or no literary text that was given unto mankind. Whatever the command was, God had to speak to His servant directly, and His servant directly had to speak to the people. That's why there was a time that God used the various types of connection, of dispersion or dispensation, the sunlight, the moonlight. That's right. The sunlight represented the overall. The moonlight, a certain people, and the starlight represented that person. So this was a starlight connectivity factor here in the book of Joshua. Now listen, let's start reading from the fifth verse. Now we know overall that about the battle of Jericho from the first verse, that Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. That means the children of Israel were not allowed within the city of Jericho. Jericho was considered the very mecca of that geographical location. That's right. And everybody owned a piece of Jericho except the children of Israel. They were shut out their location. Why? Because they had people that were corruptive and corrosive in their demeanor, who saw the proclivity of Jericho as being a money-making venue, a mecca in which the wealthy and the more privileged could have the capacity to live and thrive in their existence. And the second verse said, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and of the mighty men of valor. So he's saying unto Joshua, look, Joshua, I'm going to give you this city for your inheritance as a testimony. See, God gives us land. He gives us houses. He gives us property. He gives us material things as a way of provision, a physical provision. He shows that he's a universal and eternal God that has compassion upon temporal beings as a way of solidifying his existence to not only the one who he's speaking to, but to those who are around him. And he said, you know what? And you shall compass the city, all you men of war. He said, all the children of Israel, you're going to compass that city. You're going to take that city. You're going to go around the city once. Thus thou shalt do in 6 days. When he said compass, but you're going to march around that city. They won't let you in with all their wealth and prosperity, but all that you have necessity of, even your wants are in that city. You're going to march one time around that wall. He says, and you're going to do this for 6 days. And the seventh priest, the number seven represents the completeness of God. The seventh priest shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of rams on. And the seventh day, you got that? You shall compass the city seven times, and the priest shall blow with trumpets. What is God? He says, you're going to march seven times. That's why in this completeness. And when you do, the very essence of what's kept you out is going to be broken down, and you're going to go in and claim the land. You're going to claim the possessions, the wealth, the prosperity of the land, because I have set you up to be the ruler of this place. See, God has set many of us up to set us out, but first he has to separate us so that we can hear his voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they shall not follow. But he was letting Joshua know that it's not by no accident that you came into this location. It's not by accident you were put in this position. Sometimes we're placed in positions so that God can get the glory. So that when we get that breakthrough and when that person hands us over the deed, that's right, the authoritative measure, we know that it's God. That's right. And this is what he's telling him. And your confirmation is going to be that when you hear the trumpet of those who are before you, sound out and say, hear forth the battle cry of the Lord. Time to go in and to possess the land. You shall move forth and do so, but you've got to be there or else you'll be left out. And the fifth verse says, it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn. See, that ram's horn represented, okay, something big is in the horizon and on the horizon. That means that, you know what, it's time to go in and handle your business. And when the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. That means that the people are going to go right into the city. When that wall falls down, people are going to go right into the city and march in and reclaim that which was theirs in the first place. Because, see, when God says something is yours, I don't care who says what, when, why, how, and what for, it is yours. When God says, this is what I gave you, nobody can touch it in the tangible existence nor in the intangible existence. The haters, the non-negotiators, the unparticipators, the unpatriotic, the non-supporters cannot do anything about it. People may say, I'm going to make sure you won't get it. That's the rest of the coming. When you should sound the trumpet, all the people should shout, and you're going to go straight in to the city and take that which is yours, and you're going to shout the victory and know that I, Yeshua, Jehovah, gave you this possession. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant. That's right. And let seven priests bear seven trumpets of the ram. He said, let's take up the promise of God and let's move forward. That's what the ark of the covenant is representing, the promise that God made, and the horns before the ark of the Lord. He says, let's be ready to give that shout, that command, because when we hear it, we're going to march in and reclaim all that was ours in the first place. We've been hindered, we've been held back for far too long, and we fall far too hard but to get nowhere. You know many of you are sitting out there in listening land in one of the seven continents, and you know you've been held back too long. You know you've been held down for too long, and you've got discouraged, angry, bitter, resonated, unmotivated, depressed, oppressed, suppressed, depressed, vindictive, because you've been held back for too long. God is saying to you, it's time for you to drop it your way like it's hard and come in, go to press, and get ready to claim your inheritance in the city of Jericho. Because he wants you to get out of self and get into him. Pass on and compass the city and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And when it came to pass, the 8th verse, that when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn passed on before the Lord, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. That's right, they were standing on the promises of God. Many of you saying, oh, that the ark of the Lord was an actual physical ark. That could be taken in two aspects, or two metaphoric statements. It could then definitely a battle tank. Some believe to be a battle tank. That's not the most important aspect, that they were standing on the word of God. Because see, the battle tank without the word of God, the promise of God, is literally nothing but a piece of useless machinery. But when you take the battalion and you put the word in it, above it, around it, in front of it, oh, nothing can stand against you going in and claiming what God has already said is yours. The 9th verse says, and the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpet, and the reward came after the ark. That means that the backup troops, the rear guard, that's what reward is, and that's spelled R-E-R-E-W-A-R-D. That means the rear guard came after the ark, after the battalion, after the what you refer to as literally the battle ram. But the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. That means the priests were right there because they knew that at that point, at that very particular moment, that they would be the sentinels, that's right, of what was about to take place. The 10th verse says, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout. I mean, keep your mouth shut. Sometimes God isolates us away from people so we can be quiet and stand still and know that he's God. Sometimes God wants to connect pieces. He wants to speak to us. I know the Lord actually did that with me. He separated me from people. It wasn't that I was angry with anybody. But see, anger rests in the bosom of a fool. Nothing is going to stop me or prevent me into my paradise of Jericho here on this earth. Amen. Bitterness, unforgiveness, none of those things. So God had to sit me down so he could speak to me. And the main message he's been giving me too, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Just because I put you in Jericho, I destroyed your enemies, I gave you divine favor to possess the land, I gave you financial prosperity and wealth, I am entrusting you to carry my word. He kept dealing with me about that pride. So you know something? I said, Lord, I'm the least person that would be proud about all I've been through with. No, God detected something in me that he keeps telling me about this, and I'm going to feed from that. The more that God pours into my life and gives me, that's the more humble that I'm going to be. Because he said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he will exalt you in due time. For he that humbleth himself shall be exalted, but he that exalted himself shall be abased. So, Lord, you ain't got to tell me but one time. And, amen, I'm going to do what thus saith the Lord with all that he has given me and all that he's going to give you at this very hour. And listen, he says, so the ark of the Lord compasseth the city, going out about it once. That means that the people came around one time, and they came into the camp and lodged into the camp. Okay, God is setting it up. That's why he's saying, okay, you did what I said do. Sometimes you got to do what God said do. Sometimes you just got to get quiet. Stop complaining. Stop talking about woe is me, what I don't have. Get away from that Jeremiah complex and get to yourself and say, Lord, you know something? I know what you have destined for me to do and what you have destined for me to have. What prevented me from going into Jericho and having the very best that you have set aside for me? Sometimes we'd be surprised about the things about ourselves that's not right, that need to get right, for God sets us in for the press to receive all this. Because if some of us received it too quickly, we go and destroy ourselves. But see, when God had to pare me down, had to humble me and strip me down to nothing, and you know what? With $100 billion, I will be the same person that you're speaking to right here and right now, because I know from whence I came, and I fear going back there. That's the reason why I will give to the necessity of the saints. I will bless those that don't have, and then I give them my testimony about who he is, not who I am, because I'm nothing. Without him, I am nothing, can do nothing. And then you get to that place, you're not going into Jericho with your big shot mindset, with your high echelon affiliation. No, you got to drop that mess at the gate. You're not going into Jericho with that mess, with no attitude. You, I'm diva, I'm king, I'm queen. You're not going into Jericho with that mess. And so we humble ourselves, become like little children, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But you know something? I've been so humbled. I said, well, thank you, Lord. I know who you are, the absence of who I thought I was, because I know that I am nothing. Until you get that mindset, you're not going into the city. You can watch the people go around, but you're not going into that city. You got to drop your ways. That's right. And then the priests, they blew. That's right. They actually blew the horns. He said the seven priests bring seven trumpet horns. They went before the ark of the Lord on continually and blew with the trumpets. I mean, they gave the sentinel that we are here. We're here to lay hold upon the promises of Almighty God. And the armed men went before them, but the river ward, again, the rear guard, came up to the ark of the Lord, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. Say, prepare ye the way for the Lord, because it's about to go down. And the second day come past the city once and returned into camp, so they did the 6 days. I know I repeated that, but it was necessary and needful to keep you on track. The 15th verse said, it came to pass on the seventh day. Okay, all the days they obeyed God. They obeyed God. See, you got to get out of what man say. If you don't have no money, you can't make no money. If you're not this person, get out that damnable mindset. That's a condemning mindset. God didn't say. If God didn't say it, what they say don't matter. He said, a cattle on a thousand hills is his. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and them and all they that dwell therein, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is what God said, and that's what I know is truthful. I'm a testimony of it. He said, it came to pass on the seventh day. Remember the number seven? It represents the completeness of God. They rose up early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. One time. They went twice. Nothing happened. I've been saying, three times, nothing happened. Four times, five times, the enemy taps you on the shoulder. See, that's for them. That's not for you. God's not going to do this for you, because remember what you did back in 1979 when you shouldn't have been at this place? He that is in Christ, is this is what preventing you from going into your Jericho and claiming your miracles that God has preset for you? He that is in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Let that mess go. God forgave you. It's a sin of forgiveness and forgetfulness, and I don't care what person, who they are, bring up some mess from your past. You said the Lord rebuke you, because it's good enough of God. Who are you? It's going to be good enough for you. The 16th verse, and it came to pass. Oh, it's heating up now, guys. It came to pass on the seventh time when the priest blew with the trumpet. Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Are you ready to shout? Are you ready to ring loud? Because God has gave us this city. I'm going to shout for you if you don't. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all they that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers of her sin. God will have mercy whom he had first mercy upon. The first thing people say, well, she was a whore. Let me tell you something. That woman, despite her lifestyle, she was received into paradise. You know why? Because she showed kindness to the messengers, the prophets of God. And because she opened up, blessed are the merciful. Remember this, what our Messiah told us. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. She obtained mercy because she did a merciful act to some high echelon so-called socialites would even attempt to do. So God received a harlot. She's the only one spared. She's the only one that survived. She's the only one that lived well and prospered. And ye, in any wise, shall keep yourself from the accursed thing. God says, okay now, Abby, I'm talking to you. Okay, you and listening, man. I'm giving you all this wealth. I'm giving you all this power, this prosperity, this grand divine order. And it's not for you to say you big, you large, you in charge of somebody. It's to do my work, do my will, do my way, help my people, bless my people, teach my people, show my people, do for my people, do. And in doing so, you are glorifying me. I want to stand up in public and, oh, guess what I did. No, God said, do your rewards in secret. Do your elements in secret. I do them in secret. He said, see if you in secret shall reward you openly. So this is what God is telling his children. He says, now, when you take up the cursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble, he said, now, do what is right with all I gave you. Don't start going by the wayside, becoming drunken, doing things that are not becoming to good measure, to holiness that are despicable, because you're giving place to the devil. That's why you see so many times people get wealth overnight. They end up getting on very harsh substances. They end up getting with the wrong crop, and they denigrate down to nothing, and some of them even perish. See, God has beat some of us so badly until we're scared to go outside and do something wrong. I don't care. I'm going to walk in the walk and talk and talk with $100 million under my belt. You know what? I'm going to act just like I only got $10 under my belt because I know what's out there, Lord. I'm going to stay in the ark of safety. I'm going to stay within the confines of Jericho. I'm going to do what you said do. Okay, let's go. It's getting hot. It's getting hot in here. He said, you know what, the 19th verse, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. I love that consecration. That means sanctified. That means purified. There's nothing wrong with me having a fine thing for life because it's the testimony of who I love, who I know, and what he does for me or do for you. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. That means these are possession of God. When we put on nice things and we go places, this is the testimony of God. Now, I don't take things for granted. Everything that I have is a testimony. You might say, oh, that's nothing. But to me, it's a treasury. It came from the Lord. God provided Jehovah Jireh, gave me this. He blessed me with this. He gave me this. He did this for me. What may seem minuscule to you, it's great to me. And I'm going to give him the glory. I don't care who. And just watch it keep on adding to me. Amen. So this is what you got to do. It all belongs to God. That means give him the glory. God blesses us with that miracle breakthrough, with that finance, the thing with heaven over our head. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. God blesses us to own our property or be blessed in such a posture that we possess that property. Oh, they better have. No, thank you, God. I put on that nice coat. I had a coat with 10,000 holes in it, and I got a beautiful thing to put on and keep me warm. Thank you, God. Stop being so high-minded, because you do nothing but open up the vessel for the enemy to attack you on every end. Now, oh, here it is. Come on now, sit down. You may need to hold your seat. So the people shouted when the priest blew the horn. When God gave you that sign, you start having these vivid dreams and these spiritual visitations within your mind, within your consciousness. Act upon it. And it came to pass. That means it happened. It materialized. When the people heard the sound of the trumpet, that when God gave you that signal, say, Abby, it's done. He speaks to me and says, it's done. Okay, Lord, hallelujah. And the people shouted with a great shout that the wall went up into the city. Every man straight forth before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep, and ass with the edge of the sword. And when Joshua had sent unto the two men that had spied out of the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she had, as she sware unto her. They blessed her. Because why? She was an humble woman. Despite her lifestyle, God looked beyond Rahab's fault and fulfilled every one of her needs. So that lets you know God does extraordinary things with less than ordinary people. And so when God allowed the walls of Jericho, and they thought their walls were impenetrable. That's right. They thought that they were invincible. God said, I'm going to show you how invincible they are. My people trusted me to do what I told them to do. And you never mess up. You never miss out when you follow God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And because we are